Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And I want to see students embrace a maker mindset. And so on this podcast, we look at this intersection between creativity and student learning. And today I want to talk about something that's kind of a metaphor. So if you don't like metaphors, just turn it off right now. But before we get started, I want to point out that the best way for people to find out about this podcast is to do two things. To make sure you leave a review on iTunes, and then to also tell people about it. So if you enjoy it, just tell people, hey, check out creativeclassroompodcast.com and just spread the word. So with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and just dive right down into it. And it's this idea that creative work is actually a lot like working out. Now, that seems a little bit strange. See, I love creative work. I spend hours sketching out pictures, editing them, and turning them into these short little sketchy videos. I get up at 4 each morning and plug away at a book or a blog post or a new whatever creative project I'm into. I geek out on the revision process. I really enjoy it. On the other hand, I absolutely hate working out. I mean, I hate it. I have never experienced the so-called runner's high that people gush about. For me, it's sort of like those magic eye things where it works for some, but apparently not for me because I never actually see it. I don't get pumped about pumping iron. Now, hiking is amazing. We just went hiking yesterday as a family, but that's mostly because I am consumed by the beauty of nature. If I could experience the same beauty and the same health benefits of it without having to exert myself physically, I'd choose a lawn chair over a trail map. That's the honest truth. In other words, the only way I actually enjoy exercise is if I'm completely distracted by the fact that I'm exercising. So it would seem strange then to consider the similarities between something I kind of hate and something I kind of love. But just track with me for a second. I work out 3 to 5 times a week. I'm about to go work out after I record this podcast. But I don't enjoy it. I don't feel anything remotely close to that runner's high. I wouldn't choose a vigorous workout over reading a novel or watching a movie. But I do it anyway. And I choose it because it's necessary. I've noticed that exercise actually helps me in my creative work. I know, for example, that a long run creates this boredom-induced mental rest that often leads to creative breakthroughs. So even though I don't feel like it, I will enjoy the results of it. I know that weightlifting makes me feel less stressed and more energized. I am more productive in my creative work when I'm also sticking to an exercise regimen. But it has me wondering if there's actually an overlap between what it's like to do creative work and what it's like to work out on a regular basis. So I want to explore this. And here's why. There's this common myth out there that you should do creative work when you feel inspired. You get excited about an idea and then you throw yourself into a creative process until you have something you love. You see this when you go to conferences and people have slide decks on creativity. It never looks like a grind. It's always like kids, you know, wandering around in dandelions and, you know, paint everywhere and that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. Creative work is still work. It's fun, yes, absolutely. It's enjoyable, for sure. But it's also a discipline. And being a discipline, it can sometimes be hard. It can sometimes be boring. So I want to explore these similarities between creativity and working out. So I'm going to list them, and I don't know, maybe there's something here that you'll be able to get out of it. Real quickly, if you go to spencervideos.com, you'll notice I created a video reflection that's much shorter than this particular podcast episode. And it's called Creative Work is Like Working Out. I know, really creative title, right? But anyway, here we go. Number one, creative work requires routines. So my friend Josh Stumpenhorst runs every day. I mean, every single day. And this seems insane. If he's on vacation, he goes running. If he's speaking at a conference, he runs. If it's the day after Thanksgiving and his body wants to shut down and hibernate, and it's already well below freezing in Illinois, he goes out and he runs. This has become a habit for Josh. And while I think it's crazy, and I'm certainly not going to run every single day, it works for him. Now, I don't have a run streak, but I do have a creative routine. I get up at 4 a.m. every single morning unless I'm on vacation. I devote at least 1 hour to writing and then another hour to some kind of creative project. Recently, I just finished, for example, a set of STEM challenges that I created with Chris Kessler and AJ Giuliani, and it was pretty cool. They actually ended up being the top seller on TPT. But sometimes it's that, sometimes it's a sketch note video, sometimes it's a curriculum that I'm developing. It can be anything. But the whole thing is that I have this time set aside for creative work. And I will call it that. It is work. It's sometimes a grind. It's sometimes not easy. It sometimes makes me actually kind of frustrated. But in the end, again, I always am glad that I did it. Now, sometimes it's working. I'll sit down and I'll get to work and things just click. Other times it's a full hour of what I just described, that sense of never getting into the groove. But the result is always a finished product that I'm proud of. And more importantly, I've developed this creative habit. And there's something else that happens sometimes when you just plow through it. You have a creative breakthrough. Sometimes the first 5 minutes suck, and then the next hour is awesome. And that's a lot like what it means to run. The first mile just doesn't feel great, but the next 5 or 6 might feel amazing. Number two, creative work requires rest. So this is kind of the opposite. This is saying, you know what, we actually need to rest a little bit. There's an interesting study cited in the book Rest. It's become one of my favorite books that I've read recently, where they looked at the productivity of professors who spent 10 to 60 hours per week on research. Those who spent beyond 30 hours a week on their research ended up producing fewer papers and having fewer creative breakthroughs. The idea is clear. Rest is vital for creativity. The downtime we experience when we go for walks, when we exercise, take naps, do those types of things, you know, the sense of being bored a little bit or even being entertained. Well, these moments allow our brains to process seemingly disconnected ideas. This mental rest that's created there also creates a space for us to solve complex problems in a relaxed way. So on one hand, our brain is subconsciously connecting seemingly disconnected ideas. But then also this massive slack allows us to solve problems that we're stuck on when we don't rest. And now this idea is actually really similar to something in exercise. This concept of taking a rest and recuperating, allowing your muscles to heal. It's the whole idea of muscle protein synthesis, which I readily admit I don't know a thing about, and please don't take anything I'm saying to be health advice. But you get the idea. It's why people will wait 24 or 48 hours between workouts instead of working 3 times a day. Your body needs rest. And I would argue that your mind needs rest in order for you to thrive in your creativity as well. Number three, creative work can feel, well, kind of uninspiring. This is a little bit like the first one about having routines. But here's the deal. Inspiration is definitely critical to creativity. Those little sparks of ideas often ignite a passion for a project. But there's this less inspiring element where you have to just fan the flames and tend to the fire. You will hit moments of frustration and boredom. your work doesn't turn out right and you can't figure out what you need to do to fix it. You make mistakes, huge mistakes. And for all the talk of embracing failure, these moments still feel lousy. I mean, it sucks to make mistakes. It's not fun. Now, you have days when you also just straight up don't feel like getting started. You have a show that you can binge watch on Netflix, or you have dishes that you wouldn't mind getting washed, or you're just tempted to take the day off from creative work because you feel kind of tired. In these moments, the creative work can feel like a run in the icy rain when all you want to do is wrap yourself in a blanket and read. These are the moments when creative work can feel like climbing a switchback on a mountain and never being able to see the summit. But it's worth it. It's always worth it in the end because though it feels amazing to be inspired, it feels even more amazing to finish a creative task when you didn't feel like getting started. And like I said before, there are often times where you begin feeling very uninspired, and then something happens along the way where it just kind of clicks, and you're hitting this state of creative flow. Number four, creative work is difficult at the beginning. There's no way around it. Creative work is just hard at first. You feel like you don't know what you're doing, and you are constantly asking if you're doing it the right way. You are also slower. You haven't hit that place of creative fluency where you spend hours lost in a task. Everything seems difficult in this phase. Chances are you're not very good at it either, whatever it may be. So you are able to identify what quality work looks like in others. You have good taste, but you just can't pull it off on your own, and that is frustrating. The same thing happens when you start lifting weights or running. You're slow, you're sloppy. Everything takes so much time and effort, and progress feels painfully slow. You don't have the capacity or the stamina to make it. Everything seems new to you, but not in that cool, exciting, novelty kind of way. More new in terms of you feel like the lost new kid and you're all alone. In other words, it feels like the first few weeks of getting into running or weightlifting or yoga when you first start on your creative work. It's painful, it's confusing, everyone around you knows what they're doing, and you simply don't. But that leads to the next concept, which is number five. You need a community. You need to be affirmed in what you're doing. Individual sports are rarely as individual as they appear. For example, runners will join running clubs and participate in larger communities. They network with each other. They geek out on things like what kind of gels to consume during the refueling portions of the marathon, or how to prevent shin splints, or which kind of shorts don't chafe. You get the idea. They're weird. And I say they because I've also been in that crowd before, and I'm included in that. They realize something critical. Even when you work alone, you never want to be entirely isolated, because that's ultimately when you give up. So back to creativity. Creative work is often solitary. Even in collaborative projects, you will spend hours working alone. You will find that you need people to affirm you, to challenge you, to share their insights with you. And this is why I'm a big fan of something called mastermind groups. They are the community. They're sort of like that running club that exists, right? A mastermind group is a tight community where people share their creative journey with other members of the group. Typically, they do the following. They'll share their needs, their frustrations, their stories, their successes, their failures, their hopes, their dreams that sound crazy to the rest of the world, their goals and their progress toward those goals, their strategies and what they're using to try to solve problems. They'll share the emotional aspects of the creative journey, and they'll be open about the roadblocks that they're facing. They'll end up potentially collaborating with each other instead of competing. And that's what it's like to be in a mastermind group. I've been part of a mastermind group for, about 2 years now, and it's been a powerful experience. It hasn't always been comfortable and it hasn't always been fun, but it's been so incredibly valuable. And I would argue that whatever creative work you're doing, and that includes being a teacher, which is itself creative, form a mastermind group, join one, make it happen, be a part of a community. So what does this all mean for schools? Ultimately, creative work and working out are both habits, and I'd even say they're probably disciplines. They're both vital to life, and they're both awesome, although I would argue that creative work is more fun. Some people would disagree with me. But here's the other thing. They both require time and effort. If we want students to grow into creative thinkers, they need more time to hit a state of creative flow. Creative work can't be a culminating activity or a fun project you do once the, quote, real work is done. Because creative work is the real work. Teachers can't control the bell schedule or the packed curriculum, but they can still infuse their units with creative thinking. Project-based learning and design thinking are content neutral, or maybe even content universal. We as educators can incorporate creative thinking into our lessons if we're willing to reimagine our instruction and our units to provide as many creative opportunities as possible. And when this happens, it won't always be pretty. Students are going to hit moments of boredom and frustration and confusion in their creative work. But that's normal. After all, it's a lot like working out. But that's part of the beauty of the creative journey. Hey, have a wonderful day. Again, if you enjoy this, leave a review on iTunes and go out and make something awesome.